Today, Dr. Herbert Billy continues with It's All About Jesus.
And he is before all, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he, referring to Jesus, might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. And so I'm continuing part two today of the series that we started last week entitled It's All About Jesus. Look at these two people around you. Tell them it's about Jesus. It's about Jesus. It's about Jesus. The whole New Testament is really about Jesus. Talks about how as a result of Jesus we have a better covenant based upon better promises. As a result of Jesus, we have redemption. We're being declared righteous. As a result of Jesus and all that God did through him at Calvary, we have access to the tree of life. The New Testament is all about Jesus. And then there are some specific chapters, particularly in Paul's epistle, where he's really driving his home. That's what he's doing here in Colossians 1. And as I highlight just these things that point to Jesus, verse 16, it says it was by him, by Jesus. In the verse 16, it says, all things created by him and for him, by Jesus and for Jesus. Verse 17 says, Jesus is above all things, and by Jesus all things consist. Verse 18, and Jesus is the head of the body. And in the verse 18, that Jesus might have the preeminence. It pleased the Father that in Jesus all fullness would dwell. Verse 20, and then we got peace through the blood of Jesus' cross, by Jesus to reconcile all things to Jesus, by Jesus, I say, whether it be things in earth or things in heaven. And as I started this series, I told you some kind of way, I believe the church, we've gotten off. But you know, we got now it's starting to get, we got whole new denominations now that are being formed because one man didn't become bishop. I thought I was going to be the next presiding bishop. Since I ain't going to be, I'm going to start my own thing. Well, it make me assistant pastor, maybe somebody else, I'm off to another church. I thought I was going to get that lead, and you didn't make me the lead, I go to another church and sing on somebody else's music ministry. In some kind of way, we've gotten to think that all this stuff's about us. And it ain't about us. It's about Jesus. It's not about your kingdom. It's not about your goals. It's not about your ambition. Can I tell you this? It's not even about you trying to fulfill what God told you. Because whatever God told you, he brings it about in his time. You driving yourself crazy to try to make something come to pass that God told you going to come to pass. Well, the Lord told me I'm going to do what. Well, if he told you that, he'll do that. You don't have to try to make the will of God come to pass. You hear what I'm saying? Whatever God told you, he will arrange it. You don't have to drive yourself crazy trying to fulfill some vision that God gave you. That's good right there. That was worth coming to church a little bit later or a little bit earlier today, depending which service you come to. Because it's not about us. And I said, we've gotten the spirit of the Tower of Babel people that we're trying to build us a city and make us a name in Genesis 11 and 4. But it's not about us. It's about him. Colossians 1:16 says everything was created by him and for him. By him, for him. He created and he created for him. The Bible says, for his pleasure, everything was created. Everything was created to please him. That includes you. That includes me. We were created to please God. Say that. So I was created to please God. That means not you weren't created to please yourself. You weren't created to pursue your vision. You were created to please God. We really got to get this. That's what Revelation 4:11 said. You created all things, and for thy pleasure, all things were created. And so I'm trying to get us back to getting the attention off of ourselves and off of what we want and just surrendering ourselves to him and say, God, I surrender. It's not about me. It's about you. So that was just the introduction. Let's go a little bit deeper this week, because there's three things I want to tell you that what it's really about. It's about his will. It's about his purpose. And it's about his glory. I'm not going to get to all of those today, but let me just get to talking about the fact that it's about his will. Everybody say it's about his will. Now, there are some of us who by trial and error have been out the will of God. Can anybody else acknowledge you ever got out the will of God? Can anyone say you got out, but you got back in? Which one is better? In the will of God. Now, some of y'all, you have not really been out the will of God yet, so you don't know what I'm talking about. So go ahead and try it. Because when you determine to get out the will of God, can't nobody tell you nothing. Come on now. I'm your pastor. I'm your man of God. Y'all think I got all wisdom, which I don't. You'll come to me. But when your mind made up, I've had folks pre-qualified what you even say to me. And say, now, pastor, I know what you're going to say, but the Lord showed me. Basically, shut up, pastor. Shut up. Don't want to hear your opinion right now. And no, a lot of times we just got our mind made up. We're going to do our thing. Yes, we are. And when I went to Maine, I had my mind made up. I'm going. And if I perish, I perish. But 1986, when my uncle dangled $5,000 more a year to this boy just graduated from college, just got married, had a baby on the way, and I'm going to come up to Maine. Instead of making $25,000, I'm going to make $30,000 a year. And then I'm going to learn the business. Then we're going to come back to New York, and we're going to open up a branch of the business. We're going to work there for maybe 3 years and then go to New York, because I was a city boy, so he knew that. So let's go back. And, oh, man, this looked like a great opportunity. And nothing that he said was true. I knew enough that this is before the Affordable Care Act. Okay? This is before Obamacare, when insurance companies did not cover pre-existing conditions, period. Some of y'all don't know what that is. Pregnancy was a pre-existing condition. If you got pregnant, don't you switch jobs. And let's remember those days. Okay, y'all need to understand that's part of if this Republican health care thing go through, you're gonna be back to that. All kind of you're gonna have to lie and be hiding stuff in order to get insurance. Then they find out and cancel you. Okay? But and that wasn't about partisan, that's about, I believe, people ought to be taken care of. I don't care who you are. You understand what I'm saying? And so Marcia was pregnant, and I said to my uncle, I said, when I knew enough about insurance, I said, no, well, if I leave now in the middle of her being pregnant, we're not going to have health care and health insurance. He said, that. I figured you would say that. I've already spoken to my insurance agent, and he's given us a special rider that you'll be covered. Come on, if your uncle talking to you, you know your uncle ain't lying to you, right, about something like that. That was a lie. It was a lie. Had no insurance. Chandler was born with no insurance. And God, what did he do? God worked it out, y'all. See, this new this. See, God helped us. God helped us. He helped people. We went up there. Marcia got the label. We went up there, and I gave him that insurance card. I said, "He come ba 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 stop ba 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 so cool ba ba." I gave it to him. Don't check it out tonight. Lord God. By the time they found out I had no insurance, he was out. Hey, glory to God. Won't he do it? Won't he will? Will he won't? We had our baby gone. We stole the baby from the hospital. About a week or two later, they said, "Mr. Bailey, called. Mr. Bailey, do you have another insurance card?" What? No coverage. The devil is a liar. But then I had to work that out and pay. I don't know if we ever paid or not. Tim, you owe them people. Maine Medical Center, you owe them some money. I don't I don't know if we ever paid. You got the money. Pay it now. I don't know if we ever paid it or not, but I had to work something out. But I was, it was about my will, my desire, what I'm trying to get accomplished. And I wasn't thinking about ministry. All I was thinking about this good opportunity. And know what the Bible said? All that's in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And that was the pride of life. It looked like I was going to be able to make it and make it big and be a business owner. And I didn't consult God. I didn't consult God. And Mother Bailey, she kind of flipped the script on me because she was impressed too. For, oh, that'd be nice, Uncle. You can come up there today. And after I got ready, said I'm leaving, tell me, did you pray about this? By then, everything, you know, everything's in the work. And I got out the will of God. And it took, and for about 7 years before things even got stable. We were in a financial wilderness for 7 years, not being able to pay our bills and then barely being able to make it. And oh my goodness, and things start turning around when we moved to Tulsa, Oklahoma, because I really prayed about that. And we know the Lord directed us there. And I got in the will of God. You can be out, you can be in. In is better. Things gonna go smoother. But you really got to acknowledge real early. It's not about me, not about my plan. It's about His will. Everybody say it's about His will. You know, young people, older people, we go on job interviews and we just think about how much money, what the benefits are, whether they're going to match the 401k. And we don't even stop that. Is this the will of God? Is this where I'm supposed to be going? We major in majors because you think you got a talent there, or somebody told you you'd be good at this. And we never stop to ask, is this the will of God? Somebody look like they got it all together. They got, you know, they like them. They just, you know, the way you like them. Tall, dark, and handsome. Or short, light, and ugly. Well, however you like them. And we just go on with our will and we never ask God. God rebuked His people. He said, you go down to Egypt. You look to man's plan and you never ask in my mouth. So we got to understand it's about His will, not our will. His will, not our will. Jesus taught His disciples to pray, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Come on. Thy kingdom come. What? Thy will be done. They said, Lord, teach us how to pray. He said, this is what you include in your prayer. He wasn't trying to give them a scripted, memorized prayer. He was saying, these are the elements to include when you pray. First of all, our Father, which art in heaven, realize that God is your Father, that He loves you, that He has a relationship with you, that He wants to take care of you, that He wants to provide. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be your name. In other words, adore Him. Make His name great. Tell Him how great He is. Before you ask Him for anything, tell Him, I thank You for being the mighty God. I thank You for being Jehovah Rapha. I thank You for being Jehovah Makedon. I thank You for being my sanctifier. I thank You for being Shalom. I thank You for being my peace. He said, before you ask Him for anything, tell Him how great He is. How to be your name. They say, Your kingdom come. Not your, thy kingdom come. Not your kingdom. Your kingdom, thy will be done. On earth, even as it is in heaven. And then even after Jesus teaches disciples this principle, Jesus had to settle this for Himself in the Garden of Gethsemane. Notice I said settled. He had to settle it for Himself. Look, somebody say, get it settled. Yes. See, because sometimes we ain't really sure we want to be in the will of God. Some of us, we think we can risk things without God. It won't be that bad. You know, people, I told y'all years ago, I watched Joel Osteen on his broadcast. It was a powerful message called, You Gotta Step Out to Find Out. Man, that thing blessed me. But you know, television, he was only like 25 minutes. I said, let me order the CD so I can get the whole message. And when I ordered the CD, it was 25 minutes. I said, oh, that's all, that was the whole thing. Okay. But you got to step out to find out. Now, that sounds good. That means sometimes taking steps of faith when God directs you. But let me tell you, there's some stuff you don't want to step out unless God called you out. Are you hearing me? Ask the rest of the disciples who was on the boat when Peter asked to step out. Lord, if that's You, bid me come. Jesus said to Peter, come. And Peter steps out and he begins to walk on the water. Y'all know the rest of the disciples sat there? Go ahead, Peter. Go ahead. I'm staying in the boat. Last I knew, boats float, people sink. Okay? And something you don't want to step out in unless God told you to step out in. Something, listen, it's really not the risk, worth the risk to get out of the will of God. And so Jesus had to get this, thy will be done, settled for himself. In Matthew 26, verse 38, it says, he comes and he's praying. This is the night before his passion and before they take him and prosecute him and persecute him and take him before Herod and Pilate and before he's sentenced to death on the cross. He knew this was coming. He knew for this purpose was I born. He knew he came into earth to do this, and yet his flesh didn't want to do it. Can I tell you something? That didn't make Jesus any less spiritual than you or I. Okay? God can tell you to do something your flesh don't want to do. That don't mean God going to change his mind. Because your flesh don't want to do it. God can tell you to go someplace you don't want to go. God can tell you to give an offering that you're trying to bind the devil about and God telling you to give it. Let me try that again. Some of y'all ain't never had that happen. So Jesus comes in Matthew 26, verse 38. He's praying to God and he says, my soul is exceeding sorrowful even unto death. He tells the disciple, can you just, this is where the Baptist preacher got it from. He said, can you just pray with me a little while? He said, tarry ye here and watch with me. That's how the Baptist preacher said, can you pray with me just a little while? Now that's what Jesus asked. Can you pray with me a little while? Tarry here and watch with me. And he went a little further and he fell on his face and he prayed. He said, oh my Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass me. This cup is dying on the cross. This cup is taking on myself the sins of mankind. If it's possible, let's do this another way. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. Now, I've always quoted this scripture. And sometimes we really get more revelation when we go and look at it. Now, I've always just said, Jesus got it settled and said, nevertheless, not as I will, but thy will. And it is all settled. Your will be done. Get up. Going on. I'm ready to die now. But keep on reading. Verse 40. And he cometh to his disciples and findeth them asleep, like some of y'all trying to do right now. And he said unto them, Peter, what? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? Verse 41, watch and pray that you don't enter into temptation. Watch and pray that the devil don't creep up on you. Come on. I got to deal with this for a moment. Watch and pray that the devil don't convince you to get out the will of God. Because that's what he's praying about. There's a temptation going on internally with him that says, maybe I can do this another way. Maybe I don't have to do what the Father wants me to do. He said, and that's why he's praying to get it settled that I'm going to do the will of God. Just because you say it, don't mean you feel it. Don't mean it's settled. He said, y'all need to watch and pray. He said, I watched it. And then he says to them, but when I look at it, he said, the spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. I thought that was just about the disciples. Jesus said, I know what you're going through because I'm dealing with this right now. My spirit wants to please the Father, but my flesh is weak. My flesh wants to do something else, but I know what God's saying. I know what God's calling me to do. I know what he told me I got to do. I know the cup I got to drink from, but my flesh don't want to do it. So I got to wrestle with my flesh to bring my flesh into subjection under my spirit. Are you hearing me? So you got to have to wrestle this flesh down. That's why Paul says in Romans 12, you got to present your bodies unto God, a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is just your reasonable service. You got to say, flesh, you won't obey God. Flesh, you're not going to fornicate. Come on. Flesh, you ain't going there. Flesh, you ain't smoking that no more. Flesh, get under my born again, recreated, blood washed spirit. He said, I'm telling you, because the Spirit, Jesus, verse 42, and he went away a second time. Oh, and prayed, saying, oh, my Father, if this cup may not pass from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. Hold up. This is the second time. He's still wrestling with this thing. See, I thought he said it, thy will be done. He go back and pray again. Hi, God. Yes, if this is the way we got to do it, then all right. But it's hard on my flesh. Can I tell you something? Obeying God is hard on your flesh. Anybody know that? I know we save. I know we love the Lord and we're spirit filled and that with the mighty burden flying. Got a mind to run on and see what the end going to be in these last and evil days. Pray my strength in the Lord. But obeying God is hard on the flesh. Your flesh will tell you, you don't have to do that. No. Know what your flesh will tell you? Ain't nobody else doing this. Ain't nobody else doing it. Everybody else doing it. Everybody else fornicating. Everybody else getting high. Ain't nobody tired. You ain't the only one. Pastor, make you feel like you're the only one. You ain't. The rest of the folks ain't tired of me. Your flesh. He goes a second time. He's still wrestling with this thing. He's trying to get it settled. Verse 43. And it came and found them asleep again because their eyes were heavy. Some of y'all said, that's what's going on. Pastor, my eyes just heavy. I'm with you. My eyes just heavy. I got heavy eyes. People talking about, people talking about big boned. I'm heavy eyed. My eyes just heavy, Pastor. Verse 44. And he left them and went away and prayed the third time, saying what? The same words. See, that thing ministered to me. Because I had always heard, you just say it one time and it's done. Jesus wrestled with his flesh. I prayed it once, prayed it twice. My spirit knows it's right, but I got to wrestle with my flesh to get my flesh to line up with the spirit. So I got to go back and I'm saying again, God, nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. It's something about saying something three times that completes it. Peter, do you love me? Feed my sheep. Peter, do you love me? Yes, Lord, you know I love you. Feed my lamb. Peter, do you love me? Feed my sheep. Peter, do you love me? Lord, I just said it three times now. Now it's settled. Three times. Because he had to settle it. Look at somebody say, get it settled to do the will of God. I know it ain't easy. It wasn't easy for Jesus. But he wrestled his flesh into subjection. It took Jesus three times praying the same thing before he settled the matter. Get it settled. 1 Peter 5 and 10 says, but the God of all grace, 1 Peter 5 and 10, the God of all grace, who has called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that you have suffered a while. Getting in the will of God is not always easy. After you've suffered a while, then he's going to make you perfect, mature. He's going to establish you. He's going to strengthen you. And he's going to settle you. Oh, but you might have to suffer in the meantime. I'm not talking about lack and insufficient and disease. I'm talking about suffering, meaning I don't want to do this. I don't want to go there. I don't want to stay here. I don't want to be in Columbia, South Carolina. I don't want to pass the knee bruise. I don't want to have a church in the hood. I don't want to deal with ratchet people. Don't y'all get mad at me. I don't want to deal with people. Like I told you, people. You can't live with them, and you can't kill them legally. At the end of the day, y'all, it's not about us. So you have to wrestle with your flesh sometimes. But after you've suffered a while, God's going to make you perfect. He's going to mature you. He's going to establish you. He'll strengthen you seven. Sometimes before you get it settled, that's about his will, your flesh got to suffer. Mm-hmm. You go through enough, you'll be running for the will of God. Where the will of God? Where the will of God? I need to find the will of God. Where the will? I need the will. Please, somebody give me the will of God. Y'all don't know what I'm talking about. When you've been out the will of God, you'll be running looking for the will. Is this the will? Is that the will? There's the will. The will right here. Oh, thank God I found the will. Oh, I'm going to stay in the will.
We all have plans, goals, and aspirations. But what if God wanted to do something different in our lives? In this powerful series, Dr. Herbert Bailey reminds us it's all about Jesus and His will, His purpose, and His glory. Order this message today on CD or DVD. You may also get the MP3 download. Just call 1-877-798-LIFE or go online to rightdirection.info. Order It's All About Jesus.
If you are in our area, come join us at one of our three locations. In Columbia, South Carolina, Sunday morning worship is at 7:30 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. Wednesday Bible study is at 12 noon and 7 p.m. Friday women's Bible study is at 12 noon. Our worship center is located at 3506 Broad River Road in Columbia. In Orangeburg, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Trey and Katie Brave for Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. We're located at 990 Willington Drive in Orangeburg. In Florence, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Dwayne and Denise White for Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. We're located at 1507 King Avenue in Florence. Please email your testimonies to praisereport@rightdirection.info or letters can be mailed to P.O. Box 21672, Columbia, South Carolina 29221. Please consider partnering with us or send a one-time financial gift. For more information, visit our website at rightdirection.info or call us toll-free at 877-798-5433. Right Direction Ministries, empowering people and changing generations.